I'd like to, like I often do, begin with explaining a little bit of the background of the first reading. Some time ago, in the last year or so, I think we've had the story about Elijah. You know, Elijah, when he confronts the 450 prophets of the false god Baal. If you remember the story, he challenges them. He says to them, he said, "Let us each prepare an animal for sacrifice. And then we will call upon our God to see which God will light the fire." And he says, "Since there's more of you, why don't you go first?" And so they prepare the animal, they place it on the wood, and then they begin to pray. And they pray through the morning into the afternoon. They begin to dance around, and they begin to slash themselves with swords. And then Elijah was taunting them. He'd say, "Pray louder. You know, he's a god. He may be resting, or he may be on a trip." And finally, the Bible says, there was no answer. No one was listening. And then Elijah gathers the people around himself, and he prepares his animal for sacrifice. And then when he has everything ready, he says to them, "Pour water over it." And he says, "Do it again. Do it a third time." And then in a very short and simple prayer, he calls down fire from heaven. It consumes the altar, the wood. It lamps up the water that they collected. And then it says, Elijah put the 450 prophets to the sword. Not sure how one man did that, but that's the Bible statement. But then we come to the story in the gospel this morning, or the first reading this morning, where Elijah is fleeing because Jezebel, the wife of the king, the queen, was one of the great promoters of this worship to this false god. And she's threatened to kill him for what he's done. And so he gets to this broom tree we hear about in the first reading. And he's tired. He's discouraged. Nobody is listening to him. And he just says, "I want to die." And he falls asleep. But instead, the angel wakes him and tells him, "Eat and drink." And so he does. He eats the bread that was, or the cake that was provided for him by the angel. And then he lays down again, and again the angel wakes him and tells him to eat again. And otherwise, it says, you will not have strength for the journey. Now, the gospel reading today picks up on that concept of strength for the journey, food for the journey. And Jesus is telling us that he is the food for the journey. That he is giving us his very self so that we will have the strength for our journey. But it's not a physical journey. Ours is a spiritual journey. It is the journey to the kingdom of God. And Jesus wants to give you and I the strength to make that journey. He's also in that gospel comparing what he is to give us, what he gave to the ancient Jews as they left Egypt and traveled through the desert, that bread from heaven. And just as that strengthened them for that journey of 40 years, he is saying that he will give us the heavenly bread that will give us the strength to go on that journey. He says, "This is the bread that came down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die." Then a little later he says, "The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." Now we know that Jesus gave that flesh, he gave his flesh on the cross. But what we also have to hang on to is that he did not just give that once, but he gives it to us over and over and over again. In each Eucharist, he gives us his flesh to eat, his blood to drink, so that we may have the spiritual strength to make our journey to the kingdom of heaven. And in that first reading, Elijah is discouraged. And the same thing happens to us as we walk the Christian life. There are times that we get discouraged. We get discouraged with our own weaknesses, with the times that we fall into sin. We get discouraged from the fact that we have to live in a way that's different from the world around us. Our values have to be different. Our attitudes have to be different. And we live in a world that doesn't believe much in spiritual realities, often question whether there is a God, question whether we need to follow any of the commandments that God has given us. We live in that world. And sometimes we can feel deeply oppressed by that world. And that's why we need strength. And not only that, times we find those that are in leadership in our church have not lived up to the ideal. And this comes so clear recently in the revelations about Cardinal, former Archbishop of Washington, D.C., Cardinal, been asked to resign from the College of Cardinals because of sexual abuse that he's carried out through his life. You know, that can lead all of us to discouragement, lead all of us to anger. And we need strength for the journey to know that Jesus is with us. One of the questions I think that comes up is many of us are nourished at least weekly, some of us more frequently, with the flesh of Christ, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ. Why is it that our lives are not more transformed? What's happening that food that he gives us is somehow not being as effective in us as we think it should be? I'd like to suggest several reasons for that. One is, I think, like the people in the gospel reading, they saw Jesus as the son of Mary, the son of Joseph, and they were saying to themselves, how can anything from heaven come from him? He's just one of us. He's like us. And we tend to do that, I think, with the Eucharist. We see bread, we see wine, and we begin to say to ourselves, how can that convey to us the very body and blood of Christ? And so we begin to doubt. We begin to question. And if we receive the Eucharist with that doubting, that questioning, then we're not as open to the grace that it wants to give us. The other thing that happens far too easily to all of us, I think, is we receive the Eucharist kind of routinely. You know? Well, we've done this hundreds of times. And so we're not always conscious of who it is that we are receiving. We're not conscious that the Lord Jesus is giving us in that looks like bread and wine. He's given us his very self. He's given us his very life. And it's so easy to think, well, everybody's getting up to go to communion now. I better get up and go to communion too. We need to be much more conscious of the reality that we are receiving, so that the grace of that sacrament can be more effective in us. Then another thing that I think can be very prevalent is, do we really want to be transformed? You know, we can have a fear of saying, well, if I take my faith seriously, what are people going to think? You know, if I really begin to live in union with Christ Jesus, what is my spouse going to think? My kids going to think? My family going to think? The people I work with, the neighbors? If I start really living in union with Christ Jesus? Or maybe the other question, what changes will I have to make? And am I willing to make those changes? What will I have to give up? What will I have to do differently than I'm doing now? And if we have that fear in us, then we're really not open to the grace of the sacrament. We're saying, Lord, I want you, but not real much. I don't really want to be changed because I'm not willing to pay the price. And then another thing, and I think it's particularly prevalent, is we somehow want to believe that if we just avoid the big sins, you know, murder and adultery and maybe bank robbery, and if we go to Mass when it's convenient, that's enough. We can get into heaven. And we kind of think, oh, surely God isn't asking any more of us. It's sort of a minimalism about our faith. I just want to do as little as necessary to get into the kingdom of heaven. I don't want to overdo it any. And yet if you look at the Gospels, it's not all the attitude of Jesus. Note where he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's not minimalism. That's asking a totality from us. Where Jesus says, unless you take up your cross each day and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. He's not telling us to see how little you can get by with. But instead he's saying, follow me with everything you have. Where he says, if you love father and mother, son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of me. You know, Jesus gave himself totally for us. He asked you and I to give ourselves totally to him. That is what he's seeking of us, a total gift of ourselves. And if we're really to give of ourselves to him, then his gift of himself in the Eucharist can become for us a transforming power. But if we're not willing to give of ourselves, then we can't receive what he wants to give us. In the Eucharist, he wants to give us his very life, his very self. And he wants to do that to transform us so that we live in his image. So that we can become more and more fully members of his body. There's a passage in John's Gospel that I think of often. Jesus said, and I, when I am lifted up, I will gather all people to myself. That's what he wants to do. He wants to gather each and every one of us to himself, to make us one with him, so that we can live with him for all eternity. And the way he continues to do that drawing and draw us into deeper oneness is through the gift of his body and blood that we receive in the Eucharist.